All right, we got good college basketball coming your way tomorrow night on ESPN. Starts with the top teams in the Big Ten facing off as Michigan takes on Illinois at 7 Eastern. Michigan, both these teams candidly look like they could be one seeds. And that's followed by Ole Miss trying to keep its tournament hopes alive against Kentucky. Both games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. It should be a great night of college basketball, and ESPN is where you find us every single weekday morning. I am Greeny. We welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live every morning from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are jam-packed off a great weekend in sports. We'll get you to all the basketball coming up, but it begins with the latest NFL stunner. We are talking trade with Russell Wilson. Big city mayors are in on it, too. We've got the latest. Don't miss it. Man, the game of chicken with the highest stakes in history has Houston finally decided to blink. Don't miss the latest on Deshaun. And to the hoop, LeBron's Lakers with a test they absolutely needed to pass. We'll show you what happened last night and tell you what it meant. Jalen in this hour as we get up with you starting right now. But we get up with the very latest on Russell Wilson. We know that he has given through his agent on the record a list of four teams he would consider being traded to. The Saints are one of those. And over the weekend, the mayor of New Orleans made it clear how she feels about that possibility.
I've heard the rumors now, and I want to make sure that you understand that the city of New Orleans is a place for you and your beautiful family. I'm LaToya Cantrell, mayor of the city of New Orleans, and I know, Mr. Wilson, that you will be a great addition to the New Orleans Saints. And more importantly, I can see us in that number winning that Super Bowl championship once again. And what else I can see? The Mrs. Ciara Wilson herself on that main stage during the historical Essence Festival. Just wanted to stop in to let you know that we not only admire you, we want you. Love you, man.
All right, so she said that. Then the mayor of Seattle responded with, I love you, mayor, but keep your eyes off Russell Wilson. His home is Seattle. And so you know, Seattle is in the market for an NBA team. Don't make me go there. Mayor, you went there. I mean, she went to the, we're going to, not you want to try and steal Russell Wilson from us. We're going to take your NBA team from you. So this is where we are now, Kimberly Martin, with the Russell Wilson thing, which obviously is fascinating in a million ways before we even bring the new contender into all of this. So let's just start at its core. What are you hearing from people around the league about Russell Wilson making it public through his agent on the record that this is something he's thinking about?
Public is the great word, Greeny, because I think we all sort of heard behind the scenes there's been some frustration with Russell as far as his protection, how the team drafts, how, you know, the emphasis on defense, and the fact that we even needed a Let Russ Cook campaign, we even saw that, I think speaks to Russell's frustration as far as, like, you know, I shouldn't be the guy trying to win us games, you know, in the fourth quarter. Like, let me, like, we shouldn't be running the ball every play. Like I should be the focal point and let me do what I do. I want to have the same juice as some of these other quote unquote elite guys around the league have. And Russell is adamant about trying to show that I should have that juice. Like, I am the guy that he wants to be loved and treated as such. And we've seen a lot of QB discontentment this offseason. Russell's not the only one. Whether a trade happens remains to be seen, but the fact that there are teams, four teams on his wish list, that is telling.
Well, Dan, it's absolutely everything. And you were saying earlier here for the audience just joining us that he is speaking this into existence. It's not something theoretical. He is the one saying it. And once you have that, you have at least this possibility.
Yeah, your mind has just started to think about it. It started to go down that road. I've got 3 points. First of all, everyone changed the way that we look at quarterbacks in the offseason, or the way that we think about them and the potential can they, will they, should they move. The same with teams. Teams are more willing to be aggressive or make moves that would blow our minds. I think this is one of two things. This is about Pete Carroll. This is about Russell Wilson's brand 20 years from now. Simply put, if it's about Pete Carroll, the Seattle Seahawks should fire Pete Carroll. Keep Russell Wilson. Sit down and go, what happened? Where'd we go wrong? And who do you want as your next head coach? If it's about long-term, 20 years from now, and him trying to be the Magic Johnson of the NFL, Seattle, his mind is already made up. One more year is not going to change that. Okay, so you need to sit back and go, his reputation is brighter than it's ever been. We've got to get movement, or we've got to get value out of him right now. And I think that's the reality. The more I sit here and think about this, Greeny, the more I'm like, this is not about football. Russell Wilson has made it very clear publicly. He's upset with the offensive line play. He's upset with the defensive minded head coach. He's upset that the defense has been the focal point. He's upset with the roster and trying to carry too much. That's a lot of upsets. At some point, you just realize I'm just using different vehicles to say what I really say. I want out. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go somewhere where I'm going to get more appreciation for the player that I am locally and maybe nationally. And also, this is about when I'm 50 years old and having my own brand.
Look, the reality of it is this. If you have a list of grievances that significant, that fundamental, let's just say in a marriage, and you have a list of four other people that you'd be willing to marry in the event this goes sideways, you're already divorced. You just don't realize it yet. In the meantime, now let's bring the next element into this, Mike T, because this is where I need you. Michael Irvin, Cowboys legend, brought this into the conversation, and I think it's critical because he's sitting back and he's watching the way quarterbacks are engineering stuff, and here's what he thinks. He says quarterbacks suddenly have the power to leave a team. That means they have the power to come to a team. Russell Wilson wants Dak's chair. And here's the thought that I have. If you're Russell Wilson, there is no bigger platform in football than having that star on your helmet. So that makes sense. And Mike T, if you're Jerry Jones and you have negotiated yourself into a corner and you know it and you have no leverage in these Dak negotiations, if you could somehow pull Russell Wilson out of a hat like a rabbit in this thing, you would be saving absolutely everything. If I'm Jerry Jones, if you're Jerry Jones right now, are you doing everything you can to trade for Russell Wilson?
Yes, and then some. I'm going to offer three first-round picks. You could take DeMarcus Lawrence. You could take Zeke Elliott. I don't care. If I have Russell Wilson, I am an instant contender in the next 3 to 5 years. And Greeny, you made the point earlier, which is he's only $70 million over the next 3 years. Now, at some point, you're going to have to redo the deal. But this is a huge win for Dallas. And just this conversation alone, Greeny, there's another great intangible. It's the old Bill Parcells line. Hey, Dak, you're looking, we're looking, so we're all looking. And by doing that, it changes the paradigm from this perspective. It's actually putting the real fear in Dak's mind that you're going to get paid a tremendous amount of money, which you've earned, but it may not be here in Dallas. So don't take these negotiations for granted, because you have options, we have options. And running the team, Dan Orlovsky, I know you don't like to hear this, but we have a responsibility to exhaust all our options, be it the draft and someone like Mac Jones, be in the trade with Russell Wilson. So if you're looking at other teams, we're looking at other quarterbacks, and maybe we can work something out. But if we can't, Russell Wilson is a game changer for us.
Why don't you like it, Danny?
No, I love it. Listen, the star is huge, right? That's the biggest brand in the NFL, maybe in pro sports in North America. Russell Wilson's one of the players that is as big as that star. I totally agree with Mike T that the Cowboys should do everything they can to make this happen. That being said, yeah, for every action, there's a reaction, right? There's cause and effect. We have to understand what the consequences of our choices are. And so if the Cowboys are going to make this call, you don't hang up the phone. Because if I'm Dak Prescott, I want to know if you made the call to Seattle. Because if I'm Dak Prescott and I've sat and I've done the franchise tag and I played this game and I had that horrific injury and I fought my tail back to get here, and we got a week or so till we have to make a final decision, if I find out that you made the call to Seattle, kiss me goodbye. There's a 0% chance that I will ever play for you again. So if you're the Cowboys and you're making that call, which you 1,000% should, you can't hang up the phone, because there's no turning back. You got to get the deal done. That's my point. I agree that they should.
If you're Dak, do you need to know whether they made the call on Russell? Like, I think at this point, we know how the Cowboys feel. At this point, if I'm Dak, I know how the Cowboys feel about me. That I'm good, not great, or else I would have gotten my money already. So them calling Russell, to me, that would, like, I expect them to, because Jerry Jones has shown that he's only willing to go so far to bring me back. What do you got, Dan?
Go ahead, Danny.
Kimberly, I'm gonna bring you into a little bit of the quarterback world. This should come as no surprise. We have egos, okay? We want to be the guy. That's my team. That's our football team. That's my huddle. I don't want you talking to another quarterback. Those are my teammates. And then when I find out that you are once again showing me that you think that there's someone else there that's better for my job, for my seat, for my locker, with my guys, I'm done. I don't need you. I'll go prove myself again somewhere else and come back and try to haunt you. That would be my mindset. So if I'm Dak, right. I 100% want to know. I want to know that you still think there's someone out there better for that seat than the guy that's been sitting in it.
It's fascinating. And Dan, you made exactly the right point. With all these quarterback musical chairs going on, every action has an equal opposite reaction. There's a lot of other quarterbacks out there who know their teams are considering other options. We'll take a short break on that thought. Boy, it's heating up this morning. As we continue, the game of chicken continues to turn in Texas. Has Houston finally decided to blink? Don't miss the latest on Deshaun.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and let's talk about the Chicago Bears. They're seeking a new quarterback in earnest this offseason, though they still have one on their roster, and that is that man, Nick Foles. The general manager, Ryan Pace, came to Foles' defense after an up-and-down season in 2020, saying, quote, "I respect the way he handled a lot of adversity this year, not just for himself in the quarterback room. He was a leader in the room as a starter or as a backup, and when he was playing, there were some things that, in fairness to him, the offensive line was a little unsettled, and the run game wasn't quite where we wanted it to be." And so I'm just imagining you're getting up this morning and you're in Chicago and you're thinking, we might get Deshaun Watson, we might get Russell Wilson, and our general manager is talking about our terrible quarterback situation of last year and keeping the worst one. So, Kimberly Martin, what is the latest out of Chicago as far as you know and the Bears' pursuit of their next quarterback?
Greeny, everything is on the table in Chicago. And I wouldn't read too much into a GM's comments, because as Mike Tannenbaum can tell you, my years of covering the Jets as a beat writer, GMs can say whatever they want to the media. They can say whatever they want,
wow.
But they don't let
wow.
us in all the time
wow.
on what they're
Shots
really
fired.
Thinking, right? No, I understand. Like you don't want to tell everybody what you're thinking. I get it. So praising a player, saying, "Oh, we love this guy." Next thing you know, said guy is out of town. So I think everything is on the table. But with Pace and Matt Nagy, they need to make a big move and have a big improvement at the QB position, because they have, between Trubisky and Nick Foles, it has not been pretty, and they've wasted their defense. So hopefully for the Chicago fans, the Bears fans, they'll get their QB situation figured out. And I don't know if having Nick Foles at QB is the thing that's going to get everybody in Chicago super charged up.
Mike Tannenbaum, the problem you have if you're the Bears is what you have to offer. Like, you look at some of the teams that are in this trying to get quarterbacks. They have high draft picks. They have multiple draft picks. The Bears don't have that kind of stuff. If you're Ryan Pace and you are basically generally managing to save your job, how are you going to do it?
Well, I'm going to try to leverage everything I can for the future and tell the Seattle Seahawks, whoever you want on this team is available. Because if we have Russell Wilson, we create an aura of association. Let's just go to Tampa Bay a year ago. Tom Brady goes there. LeSean McCoy, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. If Russell Wilson goes to Chicago and you lose all those picks, you're going to recoup it in the veteran free agent market, and you change the trajectory of your franchise for the next 5 to 7 years. So I do agree with Kimberly. Ryan Pace has to come out and say, hey, you know what? Nick Foles is okay, because he needs a quarterback in that seat right now. but he is scouring. He's not calling. He is scouring to try to save his job and exhaust every option he can.
How should this play out, Danny?
The Bears should not hang up the phone. I mean, you make the call and you stay on until someone says yes in Seattle. I mean, I think that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have to ask themselves, what question do they want to answer? Where am I going to work in 2022? Or how do I build a team without three first-round picks? Which one do you want to answer? That's simple for me. Because, I mean, what are we talking about when it comes to should they call? Absolutely. And should they hang up? No. What do you want? Who do you want? Whatever it takes. I think Mike T makes a great point. When you get Russell Wilson, there's going to be maybe Allen Robinson may more likely to stay. Hey, Allen, I know you're a free agent. How about you stay with Russell Wilson? Done. Cool. I can stay with Russell? Done. I've never had a quarterback like that. And then also look at the division. While Green Bay sits at the top, there's question marks in Minnesota and there's question marks in Detroit over the next 5 years. You now have a quarterback that you feel really, really good about. We have as good a chance of anybody of winning our division for the next 5 years. And so Chicago, to me, is the one team that should be calling, going, guys, how are we making this work? Because I don't want Dallas to get on the phone with them. I'm not allowing you to say no to me.
And to your point, Mike, about the aura of association, the sooner you do that, the better, because it gives those other veterans time to make that decision if they know who your quarterback is going to be. Very quickly, just to what Kimberly said, Mike T, can we just acknowledge it now? You were the general manager of the Jets when she was covering the team. Did you lie to her? Were you lying to Kimberly Martin with the things that you said to her?
Tell the truth.
I was making sure that she could fill up her notebook, and we were exhausting all our options, so... You know,
under every rock, couple different audiences.
We were trying to manage.
You're lying right now. You're not only lying to Kimberly Martin, you're lying to me.
I'm disappointed.
You're lying to America, and I, for one, will not have it. Now, okay, all right, good fun to be had. We'll see. If you're the Bears, you got to do something. As we continue, to the hoop we go. LeBron's Lakers, with a test they absolutely needed to pass. We'll show you what happened last night. Jalen Rose will join the party live. And little sneaky Hembo time. Here we go. Who is the only player in NBA history to win MVP at 22 or younger? Luka turned 22 yesterday. That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Rolling on here. Get up on ESPN. Jalen Rose is going to join us in a moment. See if he gets this right. Luka Doncic turned 22 yesterday. Who's the only player in history to win MVP at that age or younger? We'll see if Jay can get that. And we'll talk about this. LeBron's Lakers with a test they absolutely needed to pass. We'll show you what happened last night, and Jalen will tell you exactly what it meant. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and let us run the hurry up through some quarterback questions pertaining to the draft. Mike Tannenbaum, who is this year's Justin Herbert?
University of Alabama's Mac Jones. Greeny, he is a cross between Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan. He's a better athlete than people realize. He has really good arm strength, and he can really process information, get the ball out of his hands quickly. I don't think he gets out of the top eight in this year's draft.
Okay, now we all know who number one is going to be this year. Who's the second best quarterback in this class, Mike?
Greeny, it's BYU's Zach Wilson. Zach is a great athlete with really good arm strength, and as the ball gets further down the field, somehow his accuracy gets better. The one knock on him is going to be they lost to Coastal Carolina. He actually played well in that game, and to me, the definition of greatness is he's elevated that program at BYU.
All right, and so then that brings up the question that the New York Jets will have at number two. Who's better, Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold?
Greeny, right now, 31 miles away from where you're sitting, Joe Douglas is asking that exact an easy answer. It's Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's a better quarterback today. He's more accurate. He's a better athlete. And Sam Darnold continues to turn the ball over. 54 turnovers in the NFL, 22 interceptions at USC. Zach Wilson is the better quarterback for the New York Jets.
All right, Dan Orlovsky, again, I know you're doing all of the tape work on all of these guys as we work our way towards the draft. Do you agree with that? At this stage, is Zach Wilson just flat better than Sam Darnold?
No, he's more appealing. He's more intriguing. Now, candidly, I have not seen every Zach Wilson tape yet. I've watched a couple of them, mainly the Coastal Carolina one, and Mike T is exactly right. He was really good in that football game. But just like when everyone says he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, two things that we underrate about Patrick that we don't know about Zach Wilson are, one, how bright he is, how like football intelligent he is, because that's something that doesn't ever get talked about enough with Patrick. Yes, he's got the off body and crazy arm throws and flinging the football everywhere, and he plays with the FOMO style. Every play is fear of missing out. Like this, I've got this big play opportunity. And then how slow the game is for Patrick. Until you actually watch him play against that NFL caliber competition and speed, we won't know if the game slows down for him the way it's so slow for Patrick. And so he's intriguing and enticing, and it's something that whets your appetite a little bit when you watch his game film, and I get it. But at the end of the day, you've got to ask yourself, if you're the Jets, let's look at this, if we're the Jets, do we think he's going to be better than Sam Darnold 4 years from now? It's not just now, but 4 years from now. And if you're going to tell me that the one knock against Sam Darnold is the turnovers, I can respect that. But we have to look at those 54 turnovers and go, how many of them are really because Sam Darnold just can't get over the turnovers? Or how many of them can be attributed to everything around him is a joke? You know, how many of those turnovers are because he's playing under duress and just trying to make a play? How many of those are because he's getting hit from the blind side in less than 5 seconds? And so that's what you have to really look at when it comes to these two players.
I totally agree with that. I think what you're saying, and not to put words in your mouth, is no quarterback could have succeeded in the circumstances that Sam Darnold has been in the last 3 years. And with that, I fully agree. So, Mike Tannenbaum, how do you factor that into all of this, that with a fresh start and with a brand new coaching staff and everything else, can you find that magic? Because what the Jets are then considering, they would have the second pick in the draft as an asset rather than having to draft a quarterback. That's the decision Joe Douglas is making.
Right, but you're chasing greatness, screening, and for 20 years, the New York Jets, unfortunately, as you and I both know, we were chasing Tom Brady. Now you're chasing Josh Allen. It's still greatness. And look, when we talk about some young quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz, there may be some inconsistencies, but they have flashed greatness in the NFL. We haven't seen greatness out of Sam Darnold. That's my biggest concern. He's flashed good, but good is not going to beat Josh Allen. And Greeny, as a custodian of the New York Jet fan base, you want to ask the question, what gives us the highest chance to ring the bell at the highest possible level? And what Zach Wilson has shown as BYU is simply a higher ceiling than what we've seen from Sam Darnold.
Go ahead, Dan.
First of all, Sam Darnold has had many great plays in the NFL. We can't use Josh Allen and Carson Wentz. Josh Allen had Stephon Diggs. Carson Wentz had a top five offensive line and run game. Zach Ertz. Sam Darnold has never had anyone even remotely close to that. He's never had a Brian Daboll. He's never had a Doug Peterson. Sam Darnold hasn't had stretches of greatness, I will give you that. But he's had moments and signs where you point to, that's the talent. That's the talent. And that's the question. Like, that's also a question that the Jets have to ask themselves. Are they willing to pass up on a guy that 3 years ago was in the conversation for the number one pick, was one of these more talented quarterbacks coming out of the draft. And I'll be candid with you, Greeny. If we have to, like, if you take a step back and look at this situation, the Jets and Robert Saleh and that staff made the decision to go there before they ever started to dive into these college quarterbacks. One of the reasons why, when they had their pick of job in the NFL, that they went to the Jets is because they saw something in Sam Darnold that they really liked. Just be very careful passing up on young quarterbacks in a short period of time when they had zero chance to show what they were capable of. Be very careful with that.
All right, we're working our way. Look, we're 8 weeks away basically at this point, and that is where the draft in many ways will begin, because we all know what's going to happen at number one. Guys, sit tight. Much more of that as we go. But I've been teasing this question, and I want to see if my buddy Jalen Rose gets it right. So Luka Doncic turned 22 years old yesterday, Jay. Who is the only player in history to win an MVP at that age or younger?
Himbo, you know how much I love you. And you and Greeny crushing it in the afternoon on the radio. But you know I know the answer to this question. You know I know the answer to this question. As a matter of fact, he's a member of the Knicks, and he just joined the coach that he had in Chicago when he won MVP, Derrick Rose.
That is correct. I thought you were going to say, and he shares your last name. That is correct. You got it right. Jalen knocks it out of the park early. Okay, we're going to talk about Luka in just a minute. But first, we're going to talk about the two leading candidates for MVP this year. They were both on the floor last night. Same time, same place. LeBron and Steph Curry. But this was a night that belonged purely to LeBron and the Lakers. There he is early from the outside. Now here he is on the defensive side. LeBron taking it coast to coast. Lakers scored 41 in the first quarter last night. They had a 20-point lead. And then here's another bad moment for Golden State, adding injury to insult. Pay no attention to the ball. Just watch Draymond Green. You see him hobbling there. Now we'll show you exactly what happened. He's going to come down on the foot of KCP, rolling the ankle. Draymond would leave the game. He would not return. And frankly, it probably wouldn't have mattered. This is a blowout. Time winding down before halftime. Here comes LeBron. 3-2-1, knock it down. Lakers scored 73 points in the first half. They had a 29-point lead. Third quarter, we go here, and the Lakers' lead is 30, and we got more from LeBron and company. On the inbounds, Markieff Morris. LeBron wouldn't play a whole lot longer than this. That's Markieff for the two-handed slam. Lakers, their largest lead was 32. Morris had 13 points. LeBron would score 19. He wouldn't play the fourth quarter of this game, as the Lakers just flat-out dominate to win this one 117-91. So, Jalen, before we get to the really fun stuff today, let me just ask you about the Lakers. We had them three times this week on ESPN and ABC. What do you see them right? What do you see in them right now as they continue to play without AD?
That they're head and shoulders my clear-cut favorite to win the NBA championship. Once Anthony Davis comes back, I don't think a team – I'll say somebody will take them six, because that's what happened in the finals last year with the Miami Heat. But nobody's going to press the Lakers this year, Greeny, when they get healthy. And now that we're closer to the All-Star break, the MVP conversation keeps getting thrown around. And – I love James Harden, for example, as much as the next person, and I'm a fellow lefty. But to me, it's so disrespectful when I hear people say that he's the MVP of the league, like they're not watching LeBron James play basketball this year. Mm. He's played every game. He's leading the Lakers in so many different categories. AD's been in and out. We see once he get a little help with Schroeder, he's even now having the energy to play defense. Kyle Kuzma tweeted yesterday that LeBron James should be in the conversation for all defense. And so it just frustrates me as a voter when I see people ignoring the entire body of work. People, if somebody's going to win the most valuable player and it's only been 30 games played, you can't take nine of them off in Houston. That's not how this works. So that's what I see from the Lakers. Once they're healthy, they're the clear-cut favorite.
I'm with that. And the other thing I'll say is, if the Dallas Mavericks record looked entirely different, Luka Doncic has numbers that would put him in this discussion. And he's the guy I wanted to talk to you about. So we watched them on Saturday night on ABC. You got the game there. I was watching. And he was spectacular. And afterwards, James Harden was very impressed. He said this.
He never lets anyone speeds him up, and he gets what he wants. You know, and that's rare for a guy, you know, at a young age. I think he's, 21 years old, to be able to dictate the game and control the game like he does. So obviously we all know he has a very, very bright future, and the Mavs got a special one.
So he was 21 years old when Harden said that. He turned 22 yesterday. Let's play this fun game, Jalen. You're starting a team, and you could take any player walking the face of planet Earth right now to start that team with. Who are you taking?
Well, usually when you say build a team, that means the person has to start young. So I immediately, when you say that, it eliminated players like Giannis and KD and Dame and Steph and all of those guys. So now it's like Jason Tatum or Luka. And I'll give the edge to Luka because when you have a primary ball handler and initiator of offense that's a big guard, that's special. And as a tall point guard myself, nowhere near in any way, shape, or form the conversation of none of these great players. But, like, I always knew guys like Magic Johnson that I saw playing tall point guard. It just unlocks the floor for everybody else. He can get to the paint and still make passes of other people. He's not a defender. The one thing about Luka that I want to caution, and again, he's the answer to the question. I see him hobbled a lot, and I don't know if he's going to now go do like Vlad Guerrero in baseball and say he comes back next year and he drops 10 or 15. When he does that, it's over for the league. That's what Joel Embiid did. Joel Embiid dropped some weight. He's healthy every game. We saw the talent be there. And now that he's out there every night, he's dominating. So if you're picking somebody 23 or under, I'll take Luka because he's that high triple-double Oscar Robertson type number threat. And he and James Harden are actually more similar than people realize. They both are guys that are first and second in average points and assisted per game in the league. They both have styles that some people think may or may not be attractive. Neither one of them are explosive, what we consider athletes. Neither one of those guys play above the rim. But I tell you what, when James go between his legs and do that step back, going right, it's money. When Luka do it, go in his bag and do a step back going left, it's money. He's a terrific performer, and I agree with you, Greeny. I have to build my team around him.
I love it. And he is, his numbers actually at the age of 22 are favorable to what LeBron's numbers were at the same age. The question, and you just mentioned it, because I had Kendrick on earlier talking about this, and he said the reason he doesn't take Luka is because Luka has, quote, a whack body. And compared it to his own, actually, Kendrick did. And so that's his concern. Do you believe, he said he doesn't think Luka can get into the kind of shape you're talking about. Do you believe he can? Can Luka be a great player for 15 years?
That's a great point, Big Perk. And I'm glad I see that too, Greeny. It's like every game, it's almost like he's a little gimpy. He's a little hobbled. And that's okay. But it does hurt him defensively. It hurts him defensively a lot because he can be a liability on that end of the floor. But I'll tell you what, he's such a magnificent performer. I do believe he could get into top shape because he's so young. When you're under 23, you feel like you can eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want, go to sleep whenever you want, and still be that level of performer. And when you get those type of numbers, it kind of validates it. Then after you play a couple of years and you realize, hey, if I want to have staying power and I really want to be dominant, that's what I need to do, it's going to happen. Over the next 2 or 3 years, you and I are going to be having this conversation. Mm-hmm. Luka Doncic comes into training camp. He's 15 to 20 pounds lighter. He's taking it a lot more serious. He's upset that the Dallas Mavs keep getting eliminated in the first round. And then that season, he's going to be MVP.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Jay, you're the best. We will see you later in the day. Thank you. I've got a whole list of those guys ready for radio today. Meanwhile, as we continue here, the game of chicken coming up this weekend that continues to play out in Houston. Have the Texans finally decided to blink? Don't miss the latest on Deshaun. It's next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are busy, and what a good night we have of basketball tonight. Big Monday starts with 7 Eastern, North Carolina taking on Syracuse, and then the projected number one pick in the draft is Cade Cunningham. He scored 40 over the weekend. Now he's leading Oklahoma State in their rematch against Oklahoma. Should be really good tonight. ESPN and the ESPN app for your college basketball doubleheader. And with that, I welcome you back to our studio. I'm Greeny. This is Get Up on ESPN. We're with you commercial-free for the next 12 minutes here on ESPN, talking football leading up to the top of the hour, and that is when First Take will take over. And they will have this. Should Russell Wilson want to play for the Seahawks or the Cowboys? Should the Saints want Drew Brees back? Stephen A., Max, and Molly will debate all of that and more. In 11 minutes and change, we are commercial-free until then, and we begin here with required reading. This is from John McClain, who is a columnist in Houston of great respect. And when he writes things like this, people pay attention. He writes of the owner, Cal McNair, quote, "He knows they're a more attractive team with Watson than without him. But at some point, reality has to set in. If Watson is traded for multiple high draft choices and one of them is spent on a potential franchise quarterback, the Texans would be much more appealing than if Watson were sitting out, creating a colossal distraction with A.J. McCarron and Josh McCown as their top two quarterbacks. Talk about a tough sell." So it really does come down to this. We talk so much about what Deshaun wants, and that's great. But Kimberly Martin, is there any reason to believe, despite what anyone may write, that the Texans, in their own minds, have opened the door to trading their franchise quarterback?
Greeny, so far there's been no movement as far as something signaling the Texans are actually listening to offers. You know, when I've called around, the first thing people say is, what leverage does Deshaun have? Now, I personally think he does have leverage. Any star QB who does not want to be in a location playing for a team and is committed to not playing for them again, I think is a huge issue, especially for a new front office. Nick Caserio, the new GM, and David Culley have to decide whether they're going to let this play out in the court of public opinion, and it has done so already. Do you want to force Deshaun to remain with you guys, or do you try to recoup as much as you can and both sides end up better for it? So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, let me ask my general manager here, Mike T. I mean, put yourself in that situation. John McClain brings up good points. Your best case scenario, and I put that in air quotes, is you have a disgruntled quarterback telling the world he doesn't want to play for you, and he either does or doesn't show up because he feels he doesn't have any choice. That doesn't sound like a good option to me. So what are the behind the scenes, what are they doing in Houston?
Yeah, you have to play the long game if you're Houston. You have to do everything you can to sit down with Deshaun Watson, with Cal McNair, the owner, not just the head coach, David Culley, or Nick Caserio. And you have to communicate the fact that, Deshaun, you're the most important person in this franchise. That's why you make $39 million a year. It's not Jack Easterby. It's not Nick Caserio. It's not David Culley. You are our franchise. And whatever we have to do to make it work, we will do that. We do not want to trade you. And you have to create a sense of urgency that, hey, Deshaun, you may not be happy, but you signed a contract. That contract has consequences, so we need to work it out right here. And if you're going to retire, you're going to retire, but we can't trade you. And that's really the message they have to send and work tirelessly to make it right. And whatever Cal McNair did to aggrieve Deshaun Watson, he needs to fix it. And it bears repeating, Greeny, Deshaun Watson signed the contract after DeAndre Hopkins was traded. So something happened, and Cal McNair should fix it.
What do you think, Danny?
Okay, I'm going to make the long game real short. I'm not playing for you. Conversation's over. The long game is no longer on the table. All right, a couple things. I love you, Mike T, more than anything. You can't say, Deshaun, you signed the contract. So everybody, because I get this a lot from people at home too. So you guys mean to tell me that Deshaun Watson, the kid that came from nothing, the kid that, thank God, had work done, build his home a family, the kid that in 2014 and 2017 tore his ACL, shouldn't have signed the contract? He should have risked another third ACL? Because the truth is, this is the truth for players, if he tears his ACL a third time, he's not getting a contract extension. That is completely done. Deshaun Watson absolutely should have secured his future. It wasn't just about Deshaun. He's signing that contract for everybody that helped him get there. I don't care that he signed the contract. I don't care that he put his word on paper. He works for somebody that is not treating him the right way when it comes to as a human, the respect that a human should have. And then everyone points to Nick Caserio and do you want this to be your first move as a general manager? That blood is not on his hands. This is easy for him. Deshaun wanted out before he ever got that general manager job. I didn't force Deshaun Watson out. Somebody else did. He had to have a bad situation. So that's not on the general manager. But we've got to stop saying, well, he should honor his contract. His number one goal when getting to the NFL was to secure his financial future and everybody that helped him get there. So stop saying that he shouldn't sign the contract.
It's an interesting way of looking at it. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I'm not saying that he did sign the contract. And when you did sign it, which I think it's great, he earned it, he deserved it. My point, Dan, is much more fundamental. When you sign the contract, there are consequences to it, meaning you just can't walk away from it. And that's why I think Cal McNair has to sit down with him to try to fix whatever Cal McNair did wrong. He obviously has aggrieved Deshaun Watson because, again, something happened after DeAndre Hopkins left the organization because that's when he signed it. So you have to fix the problem if I'm Cal McNair. And the bigger, more fundamental issue they have right now is in year one of Cully and Caserio, nobody's going to want to go there that has any option whatsoever. So it's a huge mess that they have to fix. And I think if you trade him, what you're saying is contracts don't matter from a standpoint if you're the Texans. And I think it's a terrible way to start a new program. And that's why I put it on the owner to fix whatever mistake he had made.
Look, to me, both of you can be right. Now, Dan, I think we all understand your point. Go ahead, Kimberly, final word. Go.
It's a business. If owners, front office, GMs look at it as a business, players are now looking at it as a business too. So both sides can't be upset when they try to play out the leverage that they have.
Okay, that's a perfect way, I think, to button that conversation. I have one more thing I want to get in today, and that is this. I refer to myself as the Shefty Whisperer, which is to say, I can interpret the things that Shefty means when he says and does things. So when Adam Schefter, who is very cautious in the stuff that he is willing to put out there, puts out photos on Twitter asking which new fit would look best of Russell Wilson in the different jerseys of the four teams that he has identified, his own agent told Shefty he'd be willing to be traded to, pay attention. Shefty is giving you a signal that this is something that is on the table, that this is something that could well happen. And you saw the different jerseys there. And that one in the middle is the one that I find the most fascinating, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. And I come back to it again. You know, there was a legendary magician once upon a time named Henry Houdini who would put himself in chains and drop to the bottom of the ocean and then somehow manage to swim back up again unchained. That is what Jerry Jones would be doing if he came out of this negotiation, which he has completely
magic
botched. He would be coming up with Russell Wilson. You'd be like, oh, my goodness, how did he do this? If he, Mike Tannenbaum, can somehow pull Russell Wilson out of this situation in a trade, he can solve all the problems he himself has made and improve his team with a less expensive quarterback option. Can he do it?
100%. Three first-round picks to Seattle and take whoever else you want, DeMarcus Lawrence, CeeDee Lamb. And if Russell Wilson was with the Cowboys, they are immediately in the Super Bowl conversation with all those weapons that Russell Wilson would have for the first time in his career. So you're absolutely right. This would be Houdini like Greeny, and I would not get off the phone with Pete Carroll. I'm getting the deal done on the first conversation, and I'm putting a star on Russell Wilson's helmet.
Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, if you like Harry Houdini, go check out the movie Now You See Me. Very good. Someone tell me why the Cowboys shouldn't do this. I can't find a realistic good reason. That someone has to point out to me why the Cowboys shouldn't do it. Because the only conversation we're having about the Cowboys right now is how are they going to afford Dak Prescott and where the market sits. We think that is a very difficult, if not impossible, situation. Well, this cures that. I mean, this absolutely cures that because he's cheaper and you get a better player. And you get one of those players in the NFL that is just as big as the star on the side of the helmet. And we all know Jerry Jones wants a lot of things. And he wants a shiny trophy. And he wants to win the Super Bowl. But he wants to have stars. And he finally would get a quarterback that he would at least look at and say, you're finally the guy that I've been searching for. You're my Troy Aikman that I've been looking for a very long time. Think about that. So I can't find a realistic reason why the Cowboys should not do this. Both aesthetically, both financially, I'm using big words here, both upgrade on my football team. Like, this checks so many boxes, and I don't find it unrealistic. Because the truth is, as much as I love Russell Wilson, if Seattle is going to get three first-round picks for him, they should very much so entertain moving on.
Especially if he's as unhappy as he seems. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Yeah, I think, you know, all four of those teams that Schefter was told about, they're all realistic because it's Russell Wilson. Any of these front offices need to be on the phone and engaging in conversations and seeing how much it would take. The chums in the water. Those teams, that's the movement. That could be the impetus for some moves here. And I understand Dallas, I think that'd be a great spot for Russell. It cures Jerry Jones's problems. But Wilson wants to feel more empowered, feel like he's the guy, feel like he's not just, you know, an accessory. Like, the offense flows through him and he's got say. In Dallas, Jerry runs things in Dallas. So as long as, you know, Jerry would be able to, you know, take his foot off the pedal a little bit and give some control to somebody else, namely his quarterback. I don't know if I love the fit of Dallas behind the scenes, but on the field, it makes sense.
Danny, final word, go.
Yeah, I just think we all need to get our minds wrapped around this is not just about football. I think that's the latter of it. I think this is very much so about 20 years from now. This is brand and this is legacy for Russell Wilson. When he's 50 years old, he wants us to talk about him the way people in the NBA talk about Magic Johnson and what he did springboarding from that career.
All right, we will see if that's where it all winds up going. Thank you to the National Football League. Your hot stove is as good as it has ever been. And thank you all for getting up with us. And most importantly, thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.